Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
That's our friend Brian Bulaga walking out of the tunnel one last time. Well, maybe not the last time. He'll probably get to be an honorary captain again with our buddy Corey Linsley edition. The all break, no gas. I'm very curious, since I don't get to tune in for the start of Green Bay game night or Green Bay early afternoon or whatever we're calling it when they play a noon game. Were there people who called in while Tausch was on, complaining about them not stepping on the Vikings' throats? Because I thought they played it exactly the way they needed to. Edition. And the J.J. McCarthy is even worse than I thought. And somewhere, the echoes of Mark Tauscher's advice are echoing through the halls of the Vikings facility in suburban Minneapolis. Edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios from his undisclosed location after calling another Badgers victory. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you doing?
Well, yeah, I'm good. I don't understand, again, and maybe they're just more boisterous. Did you get any negative feedback in the postgame show about the way Matt LaFleur chose to approach the game?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it was like super negative. Obviously, you know, from my point of view, we started the postgame early. I was at the game yesterday, and about 6 minutes left, six or seven. The group I was with, we said, let's call it. This thing's a wrap, and I joined the many Viking fans in exiting the stadium. Walked out, and we started the post game probably with, I think, 2 or 3 minutes left in the game. Could have left. I felt like once we got up by 10, it was a wrap.
Mm-hmm,
or was 14. Maybe it was 14 that we were up. I thought it was a wrap.
17-6 felt pretty good.
Yeah, Zane Anderson's play, the following touchdown after it. Yep.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, it was over. You could tell pretty early on yesterday that they were not going to be able to complete the forward pass on a consistent basis. So that makes it really difficult to win. So when you have that, but there were callers, and obviously it's I think it's always more passionate after a tough loss. And
sure.
I felt like yesterday was exactly what everybody kind of thought was going to happen. I know it's almost to a T what I thought was going to happen. with the interceptions and the lack of offense and the fact that I thought our offense was going to, you know, play kind of close to the vest. So there were some, and I think this is one of the things I've noticed as I've done more broadcasting. The media, and especially the TV guys and gals, really can dictate the topics of conversation.
I thought that's what we did.
Here's Green Bay going about their business and handling it like they should. And Greg Olsen, and again, I was at the game, so I was not listening. I only saw clips and people commenting and telling us, and I don't know if Jesse has any of the audio. But Greg Olsen basically said this is too conservative. Matt LaFleur was too, you know, it was, you got to let Jordan Love eat. And there's a lot of fans that feel that way. But there are some times that you have to just look at understanding what it is. So then I said, I mean, I have my own opinions. I didn't hear Greg's. And one of the things Homer asked was something of, like, what about the offense? And I thought yesterday, I have given Matt LaFleur a lot of grief.
You have?
Over the, you know, years that he's been the head football coach. I think he's a good coach. I thought yesterday he was a really – I thought he did a fantastic job. He had his guys ready. He knew what – one of the things I don't know if fans always kind of see or kind of get the notice on from coaches have ideas on how the game – when they finish their game plan – they have thoughts on how a game is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean it always goes that way, but I think most of the time coaches have game plans and ideas set up for what they think is going to work and what they think the flow of the game is going to be. And they obviously know, well, this team's really good on defense. We need to be more, you know, or this team is really good on offense. We're going to need to be more aggressive on offense to kind of keep up, even though our defense is good. It's those kind of thoughts and thinkings, and they maybe have more fourth down plays in the game plan, or maybe, you know, if a team can't stop the run, you bring in extra linemen. And yesterday I thought Matt LaFleur thought, they ain't going to score a lot of points. We have a game coming up, and never looking ahead, but I just felt like it was yesterday, let's just do what we do. Once we get a lead, we're going to just suffocate them out. And that's how the game played out. So while it wasn't the aerial attack that we're used to, you get 28 carries for a guy that doesn't usually get a lot of carries. You don't know what's going to happen on Thursday. And Matt LaFleur had his plan, and they executed exactly what his plan was. That's coaching. That's exactly what you're hoping for. So that's why I just had a hard time understanding why people would be upset about that, if they are.
And let's not lose sight of the facts. And this was, it's great. I'm glad to hear that you and I were in, not cahoots, lockstep. We were in agreement. Because that was kind of the feedback I was getting after the game as well from fans. And my argument is, all right, not only are you without Josh Jacobs, and look, Emmanuel Wilson was fabulous yesterday. They played a conservative with Josh Jacobs, which was smart. We talked about it during the week. I told you what he had said to us when we were talking to him in the locker room. Emmanuel Wilson is productive. Their defense was lights out. J.J. McCarthy was who we thought he was, if not worse than what we thought he was. But let's not forget that Jordan Love has an AC joint injury in his left non-throwing shoulder, which, by the way, I believe is the injury that occurred last night to a more severe degree to Baker Mayfield, which is the injury that occurred to Carson Wentz. Remember when he was going through that game where he looked like he was going to die because he was in so much pain? That's what happens when that injury becomes more serious. Those are both to their non-throwing shoulders, those examples. So Matt LaFleur, also by running the ball repeatedly, kept his quarterback out of harm's way with an injury that, as Ian Rappaport reported accurately, is a AC joint injury, which can be painful and can get worse. So you also made sure that your quarterback was exposed less than he would if you were deciding to open up the offense the way Greg Olsen suggested, and also against a defense, Tausch, that – We talk about Brian Flores all the time and what a good defensive coordinator is and all the confusion he creates. Well, if you run the ball and do it effectively enough, which is what they did, you don't have to worry about having a guy like, I don't know, Eric Wilson come straight up the middle, unblocked completely, and get a shot on your quarterback. That happened a couple of times during the game. So if you run the ball, you keep him out of harm's way longer. I thought...
Yeah, that one throw he made on one of those blitzes, it was third and eight on the... We were sitting in the south end zone part, and the throw he made over the top of that linebacker, it was one of the best plays I've seen him make. Now,
totally
we ended up
agree.
Not going down and scoring. I don't think we got points. But to your point, one of the harshest criticisms I had of Matt LaFleur all season was the Cleveland Browns game. You knew you don't turn it over, you're winning the game. And I think it's very similar yesterday. The thought process had to be going into the game, all right, we're going to be very selective with any shots that we take, especially if we get a lead. And just don't – you know that there's one unit on that team that you're just markedly better than, and that's our defense versus their offense. And when you got a lead, you knew it was going to take a Herculean effort for them to do anything. This isn't where you're facing a Cowboys or a team that can go down and score a bunch and they can get points. That wasn't the case. So the Cleveland Browns game is a great example of playing to win that game, not what you're looking to be for the entire season. Yesterday was very similar to that. We say all the time, this is a week-to-week league. Now, you have to understand what the formula is for that week. This was the formula. This was what the staff, I'm guessing, got together on Monday of last week when they started getting their plan together and saying, this is how we're winning this game. And when you can draw that up and actually it plays out, that's exactly what you're hoping for. So while everybody would have loved to seen Christian Watson have an 80-yard touchdown and you know, Dobbs with a slant over the middle, all of that fun stuff would have been great. That wasn't what yesterday, that's not what the doctor called for. What happened is what the doctor called for, and you got your win in very easy fashion, and you're moving on, you can eliminate the team that has gutted you in the division. You can take them out of the division race if you beat them Thursday. I think it then turns into Bears-Packers rather than the Lions lingering.
Wow.
You can knock them out. You beat them Thursday, they are KO'd in the division. They still will probably make the playoffs as a 7 seed, but they'll be KO'd from the division. Their hopes of a division title are going to be KO'd if Green Bay can go in there and knock them out on Thursday.
Wow. I didn't think in those terms. I'm intrigued by that. I want to get further into that. I do have one thing I want to talk about with you. I think we need... I'm not saying it's at the level of an intervention, but I didn't get to talk to you at the Tundra Trio. Yeah. Where did you get the George Costanza jacket? Because I want one too. What is that, Gore-Tex?
I don't... It's warm. So we sat outside. We had an indoor... outdoor option yesterday, and I wasn't sure where our group was going to end up sitting. So we sat outside, and I didn't want to be cold. So I had a sweatshirt. I have other coats. Eleanor gives me a lot of grief. I don't even know where this coat lurked from, but I love it. And it does cause quite the conversational segues from people. But, yes, it is Gore-Tex.
So I saw you yesterday from afar during Green Bay game day, and you were at the Tundra Trio. It's not the same color as George's, but it definitely reminded me of Costanza, like in the liquor store knocking over bottles. So I was wondering if you got any compliments on it, because I personally enjoyed it, and it looked very warm.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people like it, if I'm being honest. I know most of my family does not like it. I do, and it keeps me warm, so I like it.
Which is all that matters. All right, I want to get to positives and negatives, and then I do. If you don't agree with Tausch and I want to hear from you because I want to hear your argument. Because you and I could not agree more on this.
Yeah. And Jason, I want to make sure I'm crystal clear about
Please be crystal, yeah.
What we did offensively yesterday
will not
was
work
good
on
enough
Thursday.
To beat the Minnesota Vikings. Well, if you can finish my thoughts if you want. That's
well,
all
I figured we. I thought gonna, we had a thing going here where been, we agreed.
Would have like, been a nice little sound bite there if we would have let him finish that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, at some point I'll fit. But what it will be, so it was good enough to beat Minnesota. Won't be good enough to beat the Rams. Won't be good enough to beat the Seattle Seahawks. Won't be good enough to beat the Detroit Lions. Like, offensively, we will need more. So that's why I understand where Greg Olsen and Packer fans are coming from. I do. But that's not the NFL is. Hey, get better, but what do I need to do to win this week? That's how the NFL works. And the Green Bay Packers did more than enough yesterday to beat a Minnesota team that I think, for anybody that thought that this team was going to win the division before the season started, shame on all y'all. You should have known better. Tried to tell you. I didn't think it would be this, or it would have eroded this badly, but it's not going to get any better, and I would think... Now, hopefully, if it does come down to Week 17 up in Minnesota, I just wonder if J.J. McCarthy will be the guy under center. Because if it is, you feel really good that Green Bay, if that's for a one seed or to win the division, you're going to feel pretty good heading up to the Twin Cities to get that done.
Okay, you're done now.
Yeah, good-looking coat.
I thought we were doing kind of like a prize
pick. Jason, I just started.
It's good. To be right. That's what I was going for there. Sorry.
There was no pause and no, I don't know what indication there would have given you to think that.
Well, I was setting it up as us being in such agreement that I thought if I finished, and you said it's not good enough for a sound graph, whatever. Tell us, you know what's always good enough? Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed, and when it comes to your home, the smart play, trust Gina Della and her team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month only, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for $297 a month with zero interest for up to 72 months. If only there was a way that we could talk to Gina, and I know we can't do this, but I think, what did Minnesota have in the second half yardage-wise yesterday?
4 yards. Same number of yards had sacks.
I thought it was -1, and I was thinking, can we do -1 interest? Nope, we're going to stick with zero interest for up to 72 months. That is a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable, thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella and the Green Bay Packers stopping all of those drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
If you had negative interest, would that mean that Gina would be paying me?
I said that's why we can't do that.
Okay. We will get to our positives and our negatives, and I have a very interesting positive for you. Very, very interesting. And it was after the game. I'll tell you what it is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
It was great. It was amazing. You know, I think you hold a team to 6 points. You know, it was great. And to be able to come up with so many turnovers like that, especially in the second half, you know, it was a big-time job by everybody on the defense. And obviously, I'm not sure how many sacks we had, but, you know, they're getting after him. And so, great job by them.
That is Jordan Love after the Packers' 23-6 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Packers getting 3 takeaways, coming into the game with only 8 on the season. Zane Anderson with the... creating a turnover by pushing the return man into the bouncing ball and then recovering
it. Oh, Jelly, did you get Paul Allen's call of that? It was beautiful.
I will have it for us a little bit later in the show.
I sent that to you. Again, that obviously was the that was the play of the game. Like, that swung everything. I felt like Green Bay was in control, but with Flores's defense and kind of how that goes, until you get up two scores, I'm always just a little skittish. Mm-hmm. And I just tweeted this, Jason, before you pay your tees off on the end of the game. I just want to give a little reminder to people, and I did this on the post-game show yesterday as well. For everybody saying, well, Green Bay should have been more aggressive, they should have done this, this, this. The only way that they were going to win that game yesterday was by creating turnovers and Flores kind of dominating with his defense, getting free hits and whatnot, right? It was 3 weeks ago, that the Detroit Lions, the mighty Detroit Lions with their great offense and, Hutchinson and all this greatness up there, they hosted this exact team with J.J. McCarthy as the quarterback. And a matter of fact, not even as fully loaded up front. Minnesota got their starting center back. And I don't know if Darisaw played. Darisaw struggled yesterday.
He did.
But
he played
Mike
very
Parsons
poorly.
Going to make a lot of people struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually more fully loaded coming into Lambeau. And just, I want a refresher. What happened up in Detroit with that Minnesota team?
Are you asking
what
me?
Happened?
I just want to clarify.
I am, yes. You can, yes.
The Vikings won.
And they scored 27 points. Right?
Correct.
They won pretty handily. Detroit closed it late, made it look a little, window dressed it up. So for everybody that is poo-pooing, just make sure we recall, again, this week-to-week bit, the mighty Lions lost to this outfit, and this outfit was better suited personnel-wise yesterday than they were 3 weeks ago. That's all. Thank you very much, Jason, for giving me that time.
One take, that's all. Brought to you by Gruber Law Offices. So, Tausch, what was your biggest positive from the game?
The running game. I mean, obviously, Micah and with what the defense was able to do. But, Homer said that it shouldn't count because J.J. McCarthy's the worst quarterback in the history of the world. And I said, come on now, let's take a beat. He isn't very good, but we kind of knew that. I love the way Matt LaFleur stuck with that run game and Emmanuel Wilson, hard yards.
Mm-hmm.
Hard yards. 28 touches is what I think what he had carrying the football.
Mm-hmm.
What's Kennard? Was it Kennard that was U-70 yesterday?
Darian Kennard, yes. Dolly Parton's cousin. Yep.
He comes in for, I think, 21 snaps yesterday. It was a thing of beauty. He put Belton in, and that's going to be a big question mark of what they're going to do moving forward there at right guard. He came in and was, LaFleur had nothing but glowing things to say about the physicality that he brought.
Yeah, it's a mauler.
That, to me, was the biggest positive on my end.
So what I enjoyed was, and you've been in the media auditorium once or twice. We sit, it's like in a movie theater. Not as comfortable as seats as in a movie theater, though. And then the podium is up at the front. And there are two large TV screens that are up near the ceiling that you can look up at and watch that the person at the podium normally cannot see. Well, in this instance, both Jordan Love and then Matt LaFleur could see it, and they had the Giants-Lions game on. And so Matt LaFleur is conducting his press conference while trying to multitask. And he had a great line. I don't know if we have the audio of this, but where I started to ask a question, I said, if you want to watch the end of this, I'm happy to wait. He said, I'm kind of listening. But then after the game got done, after he got done with his press conference, he watched the remainder of the game with us, which was fun. And as I've said about you, when I've been around you watching football, you guys just see the game completely differently. And it is, you just feel smarter when you get to watch the game with somebody who knows the game that well. But it was an off the record session. But one thing that we did talk about amongst us and with Matt is how this season feels like, more than any other, that the any given Sunday thing applies, right? The Packers have demonstrated it. They lost at home to the Panthers. They lost on the road to the Cleveland Browns, who are terrible. You know, the Las Vegas Raiders are even worse, clearly. But the fact of the matter is that if you don't play smart, largely mistake-free football, you're going to get your blank beat. And the Packers have demonstrated that. The interception late in Cleveland. The fumble in the red zone by Savion Williams early against Carolina. The fourth down mistake they make against Carolina. The interception Love throws. So I just thought that they played the exact game that was required yesterday. And I just, to your point that you were making earlier, I would add, no one here, no one on this program, no one who was in the stands, thinks that you can play that game and win in a couple of days on Thanksgiving, including Matt LaFleur. So the let it rip, you're going to need Jordan Love to have one of his Jordan Love really great games, as opposed to completing 14 passes and basically making two significant throws all day. That will not work. They'll have to play a different game. But for a guy who has taken a lot of criticism and was getting some before the game from our buddy Steve Scafidi when we were on Green Bay Game Day, and I don't usually get after people, but I felt like upon further review, was harsher than I meant to sound. But, you know, he's talking about how Matt LaFleur is a bad steward.
Is that why I saw Steve, like, walking out of that booth? It's kind of teared up. That's what happened?
Well, bullied him.
I
would just say that I disagreed vehemently with his position. And my point is that Matt LaFleur is not a perfect coach. We all get it. But for the crowd that is so down on him constantly and wants to see him fired and all this other stuff, he did exactly what was required. Now he has to try and do that again 4 days later. And if they go into Detroit and win on Thanksgiving, because look, they can play what apparently Greg Olsen was looking for. They did it on Thanksgiving 2 years ago. That was the all gas, no brakes guy. Remember? If that's what's required on Thursday, they're capable of that, especially with the way Christian Watson is playing. So I just thought the biggest positive was they played exactly the way they needed to get what they needed to get done. And now we'll see if they can do it again Thursday. Not the same as poo-poo. What did you have for your biggest negative?
I mean, I still think, and this is, you know, kind of, you know, being a little bit nitpicky, yards per carry and just the running game in general, I think had that punt not bounced the wrong way, as far as if you're a Viking fan, and the way it bounced obviously was great for Green Bay. It felt as if Minnesota was able to run the football a little bit more than I thought they would. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse.
Early on, for sure.
4.7 per carry. That's a little bit more than I'd like. But outside of that, I don't know what I could walk out of there complaining about yesterday. Like, it was just a yeoman's work-like lunch pail game, and everybody kind of did their job. I don't have a ton of negatives from yesterday's game.
So I thought one of the positives was that Carrington Valentine and Kamal Haddon, who had never played an NFL regular season defensive snap before, both got them through the game. But again, I don't, like, this is why J.J. McCarthy being so bad is part of the, makes it hard to evaluate.
Pretty good starting point, though, to be able to shut Jay Jettis down like they did.
Right.
That means they're probably pretty good corners.
Well, and look, Valentine, they put Valentine on Justin Jefferson for that exact reason. But we were one more snap away from Bo Melton playing corner, which, again, part of me wants to see, frankly, and part of me doesn't. So I think the biggest negative with a short week is great story. Hey, Kamal Haddon, great story. Going to write about him today. Awesome. Happy for him. Good dude. I don't want him trying to cover any of the Lions receivers. And if you're not going to have, you don't have Nate Hobbs, which, again, I think Carrington Valentine has been a significant upgrade. But if you also don't have Keyshawn Nixon, that's going to be a pretty big hill to climb against that offense. If you're playing with Kamal Haddon and Carrington Valentine as your top two corners. So,
do you agree with Homer? Because Haddon wears 36, right?
I just want to make sure. He does, correct. Yes.
Do you agree with Homer that if you make the Hall of Fame, every number should be retired?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
He thought, no. No, he thought that they should. And then I said, well, how the heck are you going to end up having to put like decimal points on jerseys?
Triple digits. 140.
No, I think you'd go decimal points before you go triple digits. But, yeah, he was convinced that every player that has made the NFL's Hall of Fame, that number should be retired. So I said, well, Green Bay, you'd be running really low on numbers.
You would. 29 guys in the Hall of Fame. I'm curious. So how do you, like, Bulaga was there yesterday. Corey Linsley was there yesterday. Obviously, you were there yesterday. Is there anything, when you watch a guy who wears your number, is there any thought of that while you're watching the game? Any at all?
Thought of what?
That he's wearing my number. That's my number. Like, do you watch that guy any more closely or anything?
You lease those jerseys. You don't own them.
With an option to buy if you get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and play at an even higher level to get it retired.
Maybe.
Because come on, one of the things that I like on that point, and then we'll get to calls if we even have any, because nobody's really angry today, I don't think. I kind of like the legacy number deal, right? Like 36 was obviously Leroy Butler, and then Nick Collins had it. Like, I'm not sure Kamal Haddon, who again is a young player, and we don't know what his career arc will be, but I kind of like that. I kind of like the idea of it being like a meaningful number to have because of what other guys have accomplished wearing it. 75 wasn't Forrest Gregg 75 once
he
upon
was,
a time?
Yeah. Yep.
So
he
I
was.
Just, you know, Aaron Banks proudly wearing number 65, just as Lane
He's
Taylor
been playing a lot
did
better.
Before.
I'm gonna give Banks credit. He was not great. And yeah. I don't know if they found something with how they've rotated or set him out on Fridays now. He's been playing a lot better ball the last couple weeks.
I would agree. All right, we will get to your calls and texts. Jesse, has there been a lot of activity today, or is just everybody happy?
We've got 4 calls on hold right now, so they're starting to roll in. There's some things to talk about, I think. We'll see where we go.
Well, the Carbless Talkin' text line is 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. That is how you can get in on the conversation. We will also be checking the YouTube comments, which are always, as Jesse well knows, very positive. 844-770-3776, that is the Carbless Talkin' text line. Carbless-less is more. We've got our jingle for your Kringle contest. It's back for another year with Racine Danish Kringles. Jesse, what's the deadline on that? Do you have the deadline when you have to have your entry in?
We got a couple of weeks. I forgot the exact deadline. Couple of weeks.
Okay, I think it's like December 14th-ish, so you got to get started on it now. Don't procrastinate and then miss the deadline. 60 seconds. Include the phrase, it's not just a treat, it's a tradition, and you will be entered for your chance to be selected as the winner, and the winner gets Kringle for a year. Kringle of the Month Club, as we like to call it, with Racine Danish Kringles. Again, Racine Danish Kringles, call 800-4-DANISH or go to kringle.com to place your order today. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Nice bounce for Green Bay at the 6. Price ran in there and touched it. What are you doing? It's bouncing about at the 5. I mean, this is so ridiculous. seriously after the special teams L on Devin Duvernay last game, and Price lets it fly over his head, and then for whatever the reason decides to run back by the ball.
That is the call on KFan in Minneapolis by everyone's favorite play-by-play man. He was in the press box yesterday. He's a friendly guy, Paul Allen.
What are you doing?
First of all, I don't think their return guy, Miles Price, actually did try to field it. What he did, I was talking to Zane Anderson about this, is that he chose to try and block Zane Anderson when the ball was nearby him. And they are taught to then take that player and try to shove him into the ball, which is exactly what Zane Anderson did. So his mistake wasn't he was trying to field it. His mistake was allowing himself to – he should have just gotten out of the way. What do they call that, Tausch? A Peter call? Like, just get away from the ball. And instead, Zane Anderson is able to physically push him into the ball and then recover it. And that Matt LaFleur called it the play of the game. Everything changed with that play.
No blank.
What are you doing?
I mean, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, think
I never understand. Listen, punt returning is the hardest job. To me, it is a hard job. You got people running 20 miles an hour screaming at you. You got wind. You got sun. You have decisions to make whether you're going to fair catch. You don't know. You know, the ball spins differently. There's all kinds. But in this instance, once you make the decision that you're going to let it go and not land and not catch it, just get out of the way. If they make a play on it, great.
Right.
I'm not interested in trying to block it and let Zane block me into it. That's where Paul Allen. I think Paul Allen called that exactly right.
What are you doing?
Get out of the way. And you don't, and give Zane credit for taking advantage of it. So, for as hard as I've been on Bisaccia, his kicker made kicks. They had the game-changing play. So, kudos to Rich for the week. Now, let's do it again on Thursday.
What are you doing?
844-770-3776. Let's get to your calls. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talking text line. Lists is more. Start with Eric in Green Bay. Eric, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Super.
Super.
Very good. I'm gonna lead off with negatives right away. And I'll tell you what, I just returned from a trip out to the great land of Canada. I was in Vancouver. I had a Packer hat on. And someone from pretty far away yelled, just gave me a go pack go. And I was far enough away where I didn't even know if they were talking to me. And turned around and got the, I was hoping this was somehow Ricardo in Canada. I had this fleeting thought of like the Wilbian Tausch universe was coming together. It was not. So that was my biggest letdown pack related from the week was, I know.
It's a pretty good negative. I kind of like that.
Yeah, everybody was very kind in Canada, so I'm thinking they must have somehow interacted. I don't know how many degrees of separation from Ricardo, but he was there in spirit. Positives from the game, I'll get off. Obviously, I touched on Emmanuel Wilson. I think what I'd just like to see was, I'm foolish, the conversation that we're better off without Josh Jacobs, but it's cool to see that if or when he does need to take an expanded role in this offense, whether that's if Jacobs gets a little bit banged up at the end of the year. I think back to when that happened to Aaron Jones a couple years back, we kind of fell apart a little bit, that he's capable of taking on a bigger role in this offense, or whether that's a year or two down the road if they decide to part ways with Josh Jacobs, not like, you know, wow, we have our guy, but this guy could be part of a rotation or part of the equation, and when needed, the offense can lean on him. And like you mentioned, those yards were kind of tough to come by. I think, 3.8 yards per carry isn't something that this big, robust number. The longest run of the day was 12 yards. So it's kind of cool to see as we got a 100-yard rusher, but that wasn't inflated by some, you know, 40, 50-yard run, and then the rest of the carries were, you know, 2.3 yards a carry. So it was cool to see him take on that role.
They ground it out, for sure.
I'm happy for him. Yeah. Absolutely. What was it last year? We called him pickaxe guys. I know that's what I was thinking of yesterday. We might have another pickaxe guy on the team.
Pickaxe.
Well, Eric, I hear the little one in the background. We'll let you go. Thanks for the call. I was a little nervous after the pregame show because Gabe Neitzel was among the Packers offense is better without Josh Jacobs forcing them to run out of shotgun. They ran a lot out of shotgun again yesterday with Emmanuel Wilson. So it would appear, Tausch, that that's not just a Josh Jacobs thing, right?
Well, that could be the shoulder deal that Jordan's dealing with too.
Right. Good point.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know what their offense will evolve to, but for those of us that, because I don't disagree with the part about the shotgun runs. There were a ton of them. I get it. I would like to see if and when that shoulder is fully healed again, and if they can get through another couple games that way, that would allow that to happen. I still get him moving, move the pocket, rollouts, bootlegs. I still think that I find to be a fair criticism of their offense, that we don't see that as frequently. I think that's very fair. Let's get to another call before the break. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Reggie in Texas. Reggie, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning, y'all. You make me laugh. You guys are sneaky funny. The digital or the decimal on the retired jerseys is pretty good. Love that. I wanted to jump in on something real quick. First of all, I'm not going to pretend to know what Tausch knows, but
me either.
Even on the touchdown run, Emmanuel Wilson, Morgan missed his block. I mean, he ran the defender over at the goal line. So I guess they finally reached the red line with Morgan where they said, hey, listen, we got to make the change. I think Belton's just more physical. Even when he wasn't making blocks, he was trying to be physical. Mm-hmm. And you can see that even at home watching as a viewer. And I'm like, two real quick points. Emmanuel Wilson presses the hole. And I don't think – I'm not comparing him to Jacobs. But sometimes that different style where you just go in – and press the hole, and the offensive line knows you're coming right behind them. You're not swinging and swerving. And my third point, then I'll hang up and listen. They seem to make a conscientious effort to throw the ball to Watson more, which I think is in their best interest. I'll hang up and I'll listen.
So a couple things there, and thanks for the call, Reggie. First of all, let's start on the offensive line. I don't know what Jordan Morgan will be – presuming he is the starting left tackle in 2026. But you've heard Brian Bulaga say on this program, who was a very good right tackle in his own right, he could not play guard. Just couldn't do it, right? He admitted that. Is it possible that Jordan Morgan just shouldn't be a guard?
Sure.
To Reggie's point, I noticed that same play, and he has struggled, and they decided, they started the game in a rotation, and they ended it with Belton every single series after I think Jordan Morgan played two series, and that was it.
21 snaps is what I believe I saw the final tally for Jordan Morgan.
So what do you do with him, Tausch?
You ride the hot hand, and I think, you know, for as much as I think the Green Bay Packers have mismanaged Jordan Morgan.
I agree.
I think it's been a complete you drafted him to be the left tackle. Then you go to camp and Sheed Walker wins it in a day. Like, there was no competition. That was two camps ago. And then he's hurt and he's battling. And last year was kind of really not much of a developmental year. He got in and played a little bit but missed a lot of time. And then this year you kind of let him play left tackle for a big chunk of camp. He did some nice things in the preseason. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, you're going to battle Sean Ryan over at right guard to get reps, right? And I don't know. And he's playing left guard. And then I don't feel like you've put him in a position to win. Now, that is not to say you are out there, you got to play. And if you don't, you're not going to play. and he had an opportunity to kind of take hold of that guard spot, and obviously his production and consistency hasn't been where it needs to be. So for a guy that I think most of us thought was going to be a tackle in Belton, he's now getting an opportunity to show what he can do. So Jordan Morgan at guard, it hasn't worked as well as I think everybody hoped it was going to. And now I think you're looking at him being maybe that swing tackle, maybe going in at right guard if something happens. I don't know if you're going to put him as one of the – at all four spots he's first in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the case. But it feels as if yesterday was kind of the – all right, and then when I hear what Matt LaFleur had to say, without saying I have to watch the film, that tells you kind of where his mindset's at. They want to be that – they want that physicality. And Belton's a big dude now. So that's great. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in a game that you don't sit and bring a swing, that six lineman in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now what teams are going to mug linebackers, and they are going to test Belton passing off stunts and doing all kinds of fun stuff that forces you to move your feet and snap guys off quickly. And we'll see if he can hold up on that end of it, because that is what will happen, and we'll see if he can hold up.
I'm trying to find it here in the YouTube comments, so I'm sorry for not citing whoever asked this, but it's a really good question. Is Anthony Belton going to be a very good pass blocker? Like, I feel like his mauler style made sense when you're running the ball the way you were yesterday. If you have to throw the ball a lot more against Detroit in Detroit, is he still the best choice at right guard? I thought that was a really fair question. Is that not fair? Is that reasonable to wonder?
Yeah, that's literally what I just said. Yeah, I think it's great when you're going to bring a tackle in and you're going to maul people and run the football a ton, but you're going to be tested in a big way if it's a game that, and I think most of us think you're going to have to throw the ball and put up points. I don't think as many as everybody else thinks. That's just going to be my initial. As we get closer to Thursday, I'm not sure where is Detroit. They're going to have a lot more answers to the test, because I'm going to tell you, I was at that game, the opener, and it was Goff is scared and Charlie checked down and he got off his. Because I'll say this, Halfley is going to say, don't let Goff get comfortable. We're going to make him move.
All right, get him off the spot.
And you know what? Gibbs just had 180 carries for 600 yards yesterday. How bounce backable is he going to be in 3 days? Because they ain't beating us if Gibbs don't have a day. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go more Montgomery and Gibbs combo, and they're going to try and shorten the game. So I don't think that's going to be an old shootout at the OK Corral on Thursday. I think it's going to be a lot grittier than what people think.
I would agree. I think they have made some strides on the offensive line. I am curious to see what they can do on Thursday. But to your point about,
is Belton starting at right guard on Thursday?
See,
in your best, not your reporting, your opinion.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, because I don't think that Jordan Morgan is as god awful as we are starting to wonder if he is. Because I got a lot of that yesterday, too. I would say that I think he's probably right about who he should be, right? He said from the very beginning, I want to play left tackle. It's where he's played his entire life before getting to the NFL. But if you can pass protect, I think you need to be able to do that. And I don't know how good Anthony Belton will be in that role. I don't. Because he had never played guard before. We'd never seen him play
guard.
Yep.
So? I mean, who's starting at right guard? Your opinion.
I think they might choose to rotate them, and then if they get into more of a throwing mode, I think then Jordan Morgan will play. Because remember, a couple weeks ago, when they were still rotating at right guard, there was a week where Jordan Morgan played the entire game, and Sean Ryan didn't play at all. And then the next thing you knew, they looked at the film from that game and said, no,
this could be
we need to go back to rotating.
So you're saying offensive line specialist, like a pooch punter or a nickel corner, you're saying you are going to be our pass blocking specialist. So third downs, you let Belton go first and second down, and you run Jordan Morgan on if it's third and four plus? Is that what you're advocating for? Because it would be transformational in this business to do that.
Not saying that. But when you run a game like they did yesterday, it was playing to Anthony Belton's clear strengths. I don't know if you feel as strongly about him being the better option if you're not playing the game the way they played it yesterday.
I think you could ask this question and get some laughs and also get a really poignant answer.
Or get laughed out of the media auditorium.
You'll get laughed out of the building. But you're thick-skinned. You don't care about that.
Yes, there's one thing I am.
Can you imagine?
And that's
like,
thick-skinned.
This would be unbelievable. This has not been done in the 150 years of football. If the Green Bay Packers go about their business and say, you are our pass-blocking specialist. You're only coming in on pass-blocking downs. Nobody's done it, Jason. There's been a hat that falls off or a shoelace that's untied. But we are going to go, you know what, boys? It's third and six. Get on in there for Belton. You're going to take the pass blocking reps. That would be something.
I feel like I'm being ridiculed.
Only slightly.
Tell us about Tito's vodka.
Jason, it's never been done.
You're thick.
This is transformational football you're bringing up.
I am not suggesting that they shuttle offensive linemen in based on whether.
No, you're saying if it's going to be a passing game, you're doing this, and if a running game, I'm saying why not bring, if Belton's your guy for first and second down and you don't know if it's run or play action, all right, but if it gets to third and six, hey, keep them fresh. Hey, let's go. And then if they get the first down, Beltsy, you're back in there. Let's go. It would be unprecedented.
Just like Tito Beveridge, I'm a visionary.
Well, he was a visionary, still is. And you know what? Tito's, doesn't matter if it's game day, post-game, whatever it might be, Tito's Handmade Vodka is always my go-to. We saw a bunch of yesterday. A lot of Bloody Marys for that 12 o'clock kick. And then afterwards, you mix it with, it's a little chilly. A little bit chilly, you can put a little cranberry, whatever it might be. It's always Tito's in my glass. And Tito's makes great drinks, no question. They also give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's Handmade Vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
More of your calls on the Carbless Talk and Text Line next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Come on. I just think it's how he prepares. I think Ben does a heck of a job with him and the rest of our running backs. I think Josh is a great mentor for him, and it's pretty cool to watch his progression since he got here and how far he's come. I thought that first touchdown run, there's a free hitter in the hole, and for him to run with that low pad level, that's something that we're stressing to him all the time, because he is a big, powerful back. He's kind of unassuming at times, but he is powerful. And when you run with the right pad level, it just shows you what he's capable of doing.
That is Matt LaFleur on Emmanuel Wilson, who runs for 107 yards, first running back for the Packers this season to eclipse the 100-yard mark. And Matt LaFleur calling the same running play over and over and over again during the course of that game. He said he'd never done that before. That's the approach he was taking.
About that Wisconsin is finally starting to rub off on him. That's what we do in Wisconsin. We run 28 zone, and when we're in Green Bay, we run 96 power, and you just keep rolling until they don't know what to do. So I'm glad to see after 7 years, Matty has gotten that Wisconsin run into his blood. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Let's get to some more calls, and then we'll...
I don't love the fact you're not leaning into your Da Vinci-ness. Like, you're finally doing something Da Vinci-esque. and you don't want to lean into it. Matter of fact, you're scurrying out. Like, it's great to have visionary thoughts, and you, I don't know if you kind of dumbed into this or if this was legit what you're thinking, but you have Da Vinci-esque thoughts, and you decide, I'm going to scurry from them? Like, just think if Da Vinci felt that way. All the innovative things he did, and he ran because he was afraid of a little pushback and some laughter? The world wouldn't be the same place, Jason. So lean in. Lean in.
Da Vinci.
Go ahead.
It's quite the
code. Is he the greatest innovator of our time, or who would we say is the
wasn't exactly greatest our innovator? Time, I'd say. But
well, of time. Yes.
I'd say Da Vinci.
Of our time.
Da Vinci has to be among the great innovators in all of history, yes.
Yeah, who he was else a five-tool innovator for sure.
Who else is in that category? Is Galileo in there?
Edison.
Who are the innovators that we need Edison
with
the
light bulb
in the category with?
Edison. Franklin.
Yeah, he's more of an inventor, but okay, we'll give you that.
Kyle Shanahan.
I don't know why you do that, Jesse. I don't know why you do that.
I thought it was a pretty good line, actually. All right. First of all, I'm not Da Vinci or Galileo or any of the great innovators because Tausch is making fun of me, which is fine. But no one is putting in offensive linemen. Yes, you
I'm
are.
I'm not making fun of you.
Yes,
no,
you
I'm
are.
No, I'm not.
It's the same concept as playing
you can ask
Josh
this-
Wiley over Luke Musgrave at tight end. Oh, we're only going to put Musgrave in when we throw. We're only going to put Wiley in when we run. Like, you can't, no one's doing that at right guard. I'm not an innovator. I'd be an idiot. What's Homer's line? Visionary or idiot? You know that this is idiotic. You're making fun of me. Just acknowledge it.
No, I want you to ask Matt LaFleur in a meaningful way.
So I can look like an idiot.
The rotation. About the rotation and say, is it possible if you feel like one guy is a better pass blocker to bring him in when it's third and five plus? I don't think that's idiotic at all.
Benjamin Franklin, great innovator with the kite and the
good.
Lightning.
Yep. Yeah. I know Jason won't agree with me on this, but obviously Musk has done some pretty innovative things. In today's day and age, I don't know who else you put in that category.
David Gruber at Gruber Law Offices, the way he has innovated.
Is he calling? Is he a call today, David Gruber?
No, there'd be one call, that's all.
Talking about how visionary you are?
Yeah, no, he's a visionary. and he will win your case. He and his team are the best in the business. They've been doing it for 40 years nearly, and that's why you need to make the call if you've been injured. And if you haven't, good. I'm glad you don't have to call. But if you have been injured in an accident, that's the call to make. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. I want to apologize to those of you who are on hold because we squandered that final segment with Tausch making fun of me with my innovative idea. We will get to your calls at the top of the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.